And turn to Psalm chapter number 33. Psalm chapter number 33. And I'll do my best to get y'all out of here on our normal time. All right. And I told y'all, I leave here and I don't know what y'all did Sunday night, Matt. I didn't see the service Sunday night. I did watch Sunday morning. And I noticed that you give the preacher boys a full service and they're out at 12. I mean, we sang and all this and y'all are still like First Baptist Church out of here at 12 o'clock. And anyhow, we'll get a bad name, man. You just get a bad name when we start doing stuff like that. Before you know it, you'll be wanting to have church at 10 o'clock in the morning so y'all can get to farmhouse. That's like the other Baptist church in town. So they're having church service early so they can get there first and everything. I want to be like the black church. Somebody help me right here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We go in there, we stand in line, we wait, we don't eat till 1, we get out at 2, and they're just coming in. I mean, they just got out of church, and they ain't really out of church yet. They still having church as they're walking in the farmhouse. That's the kind of church I want to be in, all right? And anyhow, going all day. See, even the youngin' wants to be in something like that. And she said, y'all need to get your worship on, all right? All right, if you're in Psalm 33, I want you to say amen. I'm going to start reading in verse number 11, and I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter, and then we're going to take the whole chapter or the whole book, or the whole chapter of 33 here, and look at it and dissect it and maybe help you a little bit tonight. I hope it does anyhow. But we'll begin our reading in verse number 11. Our key text tonight will be verse number 12, but we'll go all throughout the chapter to get to support that, all right? The Bible says this in verse number 11, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by by much strength. And a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." I was looking at this passage of scripture, and as I got to verse number 12, it's a very familiar verse to all of us. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We see people post this all the time on social media. We've seen it throughout our lifetime. We've heard the phrase, no doubt, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I entitled this thing, Keeping God First. And I wrote here, not blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, but blessed is the Christian whose God is the Lord. Can I say that right now we're living in a time where a lot of Christians are getting sideways on God? There's a lot of folks that have one time sat in this auditorium or sat over in that building over there and they were on fire for God. But something has happened in their Christian walk. Something has happened in their Christian life, and they are no longer as close to God as they should be. And there are many that are not even in our services anymore. You couldn't find them with a good hunting dog. They have every excuse in the world as to why they can't come to church. So-and-so did this. So-and-so said this. Whatever their excuse was, whatever it comes, it all boils down to one thing. God is not first. Bottom line. And we are living in a day and time where we are looking at others. We're trying to look for an excuse to get out of church. We're trying to look for an excuse not to live godly. We're trying to look for an excuse to do whatever we want to. And we're finding it amongst ourselves when we ought to be looking this way. I need somebody to help me right here. We don't need to work this way. There's too many people looking this way. We need to be looking this way. If we'll keep our eyes up here, we won't be able to see what's going on down there. Somebody help me right here. But so many, I'm talking to people that's here too, because there's so many of you that's worried about somebody else's business. Let me go ahead and tell you something. You ain't got it all figured out. Matter of fact, give me about 5 minutes alone with any of you, and I'll show you something that you ain't got figured out. The fact of the matter is, every one of us needs this message. Every one of us needs to keep this in mind. Keep God first. Blessed is the Christian whose God is the Lord, not material. I'm going to get to that. As I looked at this passage of Scripture, I honestly believe that the stages of Christianity are found in this chapter right here. I want to look at it tonight just like that, and I want to say that every one of us can stay or remain steadfast in the Christian faith by understanding the following stages and avoiding them. Because there are some stages, not avoiding all of them, we're going to avoid one of them, but there's some stages we got to be aware of. There's some things that we need to understand about the Christian walk. So let's take a look at them. I want you to look at the first stage with me, and this is the celebration stage. If you'll look in verse number 1, you'll see, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the unright," or the upright rather. That means that praise is beautiful for the upright. It goes on, it says, "Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with psalter, and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." I could go on, but you get the picture right here. It's a celebration stage. We get saved and we're so excited. We're just eating up God's word. Anything preacher says, quit smoking, we quit smoking. Preacher says quit cussing, we quit cussing. Preacher says quit treating people bad, we quit treating. Somebody help me right here. How many of y'all tried to do everything preacher said in the first week? Come on now. Why, you were so excited. Why? Because God was new to you. It was exciting and you were celebrating. I remember the first time that when I got saved, I remember the first time that I walked into work. All these people had known me as cussing and doing all these other things. I walk into work and I'm talking about church. I'm telling people about the Lord, and they're looking at me all bug-eyed like, what in the world has happened to you? It was fresh. It was new. It was exciting. I walked into that room, and I prayed and asked God to save me, and God lifted a burden off of me. The weight of sin was off of my shoulders, and I felt free, and man, it was wonderful, and I couldn't do nothing but praise the Lord about it. People come into church and man, they get here and boy, the music stirs them up and they get excited and man, they get saved or they get their life right and they're so excited about what God's doing. I call this the first stage. I notice that we see a stirring up of praise. Can I say this about the first stage here? And let me help you out. If you're new to all of this, this is where you learn how to praise. I need somebody to help me right here. This is where you learn how to praise. Man, if you can't praise God after you get saved, you're going to have a... If you can't praise God right after you get saved, you're going to have a hard time praising him throughout life. Boy, there ain't nothing better than right when you first get saved, a clean slate, a new life. I'm talking about it is exciting. You're very excited about it. It stirs us up. We're stirred up to praise. Not only that, but we see singing with praise. How many of you remember you got saved? You never sang. You got saved and all of a sudden you start going around singing a song. I need somebody to help me right here. Don't lie. I don't care how bad you sing, you went around humming a song. It might have been Amazing Grace. It might have been something that we sang, one of the hymns we sang. It might be one of the choir songs, but you find yourself singing a new song. We see a stirring up of praise. We see singing with praise. We see serving with praise. Boy, in this first stage, man, not all you're celebrating this, the fact that you're saved and it's exciting. You've been stirred up. You're singing a new song and you're willing to do anything. Man, preacher, put me to work. Whatever you want me to do, preacher, I'll do it. Praise God. Just whatever, preacher. You need a toilet wash? No, no, I ain't never had nobody say that. Never had anybody say that, all right? But anyhow, preacher, whatever it needs to be done, preacher will do it. You just let me know, preacher, I got to get involved. I got to do something. I got to do this. I got to do that. Man, we get all excited, and I put you in a ministry, and we come to the second stage. Are y'all hearing me? This is the cautious stage. Because see, what ends up happening is we get over that initial adrenaline rush of salvation. That's what I'm going to call it. That's not what it is, but an emotional adrenaline rush. Y'all know how that is. Come on now, I need somebody to help me. Boy, it's man, you just, I would call it for better terminology, jacked up, excited about God. And then all of a sudden, you got to go back to real life. All of a sudden, that praise is harder to find because life comes at you hard. And we get into this cautious stage. And this stage of Christianity is where most people leave. This stage of Christianity is where most people walk out the door. And you're either going to push through the second stage and you're going to get to that last stage, or you are going to end it right in that middle stage. You're going to get lost. Now, I ain't talking about getting lost as in losing your salvation. I'm talking about wandering. I'm talking about getting away from the faith. During this stage, we start putting our dependence on might. Here in the passage of Scripture, I think it, don't hand my Bible, please, sir. I think it's verse number 16. It may not be, but it says this: there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. The Lord here is trying to tell you and I something, that we cannot have our dependence on our own might. This stage, this cautious stage, is when we start feeling like we can handle life by ourselves. It's when we start thinking that we can handle Christianity by ourselves. Matter of fact, we have total dependence on God. We get saved. We trust in the Lord for salvation, but we lack the faith to trust Him with our lives. And so you and I start trying to do things by our own might. We try to manufacture praise. We try to manufacture things in the church, a ministry or whatever. We try to manufacture a desire, or manufacture some kind of emotion that'll get us through church. And we're dependent upon our own might. Not only that, but I notice this, we get real dependent. In this stage, people get real dependent on other men or man. And I ain't talking about just men. I'm talking about ladies. You do the same thing. We start putting our dependence. Matter of fact, we got into the faith and we've gotten saved and we're real excited about it. And we've done picked out somebody in the crowd that we're going to start emulating. We're going to start following. We're going to start doing like they do. And here's the problem with that. When they fail, you fail. I need somebody to help me right here. When they fail, you fail. When you have your eyes and your dependence on somebody else in this church, I guarantee you the devil will make sure that they let you down. Boy, we got all kind of expectations for people. I ain't never in my life, we come in and it's a scary thing. People come in and boy, they talk, man, you're just great. You're so wonderful. Hey, man, don't put your dependence on me. I will let you down. I'll go ahead and tell you that. I've been married almost 25 years, and my wife will tell you I've let her down a lot of times. My kids have been around. They'll tell you I'll let you down a lot of times. We'll say, preacher ain't supposed to let anybody know or let anybody down. You take that up with the Lord. We get into this thing, and we put our dependence on our ability, our might. And then we start depending on others. We start looking at others' lives and we try to fashion our life after them instead of doing exactly what I was talking about in the introduction, looking to Him. You want somebody to emulate? We got an example. You want somebody to follow? We have an example. I'm thankful for the godly people that are here at this church, but every single one of them will let you down if you get dependent upon them. And the devil will make sure of it. Now notice this too, this cautious stage, the devil will make sure we start depending on our material things. not only dependent on man and not only dependent on our might, but dependent on material things. We start putting our trust in a dollar bill. I need somebody to help me right here. God, throw a little bit of blessing on you and throw a little bit of money your way and throw a little bit of sunshine in your life, and all of a sudden you start worrying more about that. Then I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me right here. We put more emphasis on a dollar bill than we do on the Lord. God gives you something, all of a sudden you think you got it. You got it whipped. And then you put dependence on that, and it ends up whipping you. I need somebody to help me right here. I've seen it way too many times. I'm thankful for the blessings of God, but I know this, my dependence and your dependence better be on Him and not on what happens. You better take the blessings that God gives you and store them up somewhere, because I'm going to promise you this, there's going to be some valleys when you're going to need to find one of them blessings that God give you before. Somebody needs to hear me right here. I got a box in my office, and I've already got one box full, and I'm working on another box. These kids, they come up and they give me these pictures. I was thinking to say something I shouldn't have, but anyhow, they give me these pictures, and they're stick figures or something like that, you know, and they're wonderful artists, all right, and they'll have something like, Brother Robbie, I'm so thankful for you and your preaching. I love you. You're the best preacher and all that, and I'll take that thing, and I'll fold it up, and it'll sit on my desk. You can ask my wife, you can ask Dalton, he's in my office all the time. It'll sit on my desk for a while, and then I'll put it in my box. And inside my box is letters from the kids, letters that you've sent me, cards that's been written. I got cards sitting on my desk right now. Preacher, thank you. Preacher, we love you. Got them sitting on my desk right now. They go into that box because there's going to be a valley. And I'm going to tell you something. God's blessings is the only thing. Oh, I need somebody to help me right here. God's blessings is the only thing that'll get you through a valley. Amen. You're going to have to open that box, and you're going to have to. But when God gives us a blessing in finances, we tend to blow it. Somebody help me right here. And then when the valley comes, we complain to God that He ain't giving us enough to handle the valley. And here's the thing, when we're dependent on money and it lets us down, when we're dependent on man and it lets us down, when we're dependent on ourselves and it lets us down, we always blame God. This is a cautious stage. You're growing in the Lord. You got saved. It's celebrate, man, celebrate. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But that cautious time's coming. This is where growth takes place. This is where you got to learn not to put your dependence on might, not to put your dependence on man, not to put your dependence on materials, but place your dependence on God. That's right. We get to the last stage and I'm done. The confidence stage. The confidence stage. I was looking at this passage of scripture. He goes through this celebration in the first part. We don't even know who the writer is. The Bible doesn't tell us who wrote this psalm. We do know that it's written to Israel. You see it's written to Israel just the way it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You see it's written to Israel. But as we look at this thing, we see celebration at the beginning. We see a caution through the middle of it. And then back towards the end, we see confidence. I want you to listen to this. Verse number 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon him, them that fear him. Upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. To deliver our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. I think this is the third stage. The confidence. This is where we get the confidence stage. This is where this, some of you, come on now, I need somebody to help me right here. Somebody's been saved for a while. This is where we work to and where we eventually get to. We've gone through a lot. Some of us are in that celebration stage. We just got saved. It's still fresh. It's still new. It's still exciting. We're just going about it with praise about everything. And then some of us are in that cautious stage where if you're not careful, You're going to put your emphasis and your dependence in the wrong thing, and you're going to end up out of this. But then there's some that's been through both of them stages, and you're in the third one. This is where God's proven himself. He's proven himself over and over again. And now you sit here, maybe with some gray hair. I got gray hair in my beard, y'all. Does that mean I'm wise? I got gray hairs up here, too. Hush, you ain't even got no hair. What does that mean for you? See, where we get a little wiser about it, we've seen God do some things. We've gone through some valleys and know that God's big enough to get us through them. We've been through that time. Listen to me right here. I need some help. We've been through it, and we've seen what God is capable of. And we know better than to put any trust in anything but God. This is the confidence stage. We understand that God sees us. The Bible says this in verse number 33. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. We understand that God is watching over us. And God sees what's going on around us. Can I say this? When you start thinking, and this, when you get to this stage, you know that no matter what's going on, God's over it all. He sees it all. He sits high above and watches it all. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to work out the way I want it to. I need somebody to help me. Just because I'm confident doesn't mean it's going to work out just like I want it to. The problem with most of us is that we get so upset if it doesn't work out how we want. But our ways aren't God's ways. I can't explain why God is putting you through what he's putting you through, but I can tell you this. You can be confident that he'll get you through it. He'll take the good, he'll take the bad, and he'll work all things together for your good. Yeah. It's amazing. And the Bible don't say it'll work all things together for our bad. It will take everything, good and bad, and work it all together for your good. Yeah. Could you imagine? We gripe about little things, but could you imagine being thrown in a pit? Sold into slavery by your brothers. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine then going to a house of Potiphar and his wife accusing you of raping her and him going to prison for that and staying in prison, helping somebody out and still end up in prison, and then finally gets out, becomes second in command, and he saves much people alive. But at the end of it all, Joseph said this. He said, you meant it for evil. He said, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive. If you talk to Joseph today, I promise you, he'd say, it wasn't all good. I promise you, come on, I need somebody to help me. I promise you, he'd say, it wasn't all good. It wasn't all good. I think he went through all these stages. I think if you look at Joseph's life in the beginning of it, he was a dreamer. He seen things. He was excited about what was going on. Then he got to a cautious stage where people started hurting him. Things started happening. Circumstances started happening in his life. Opportunities to leave. Opportunities to walk away from God. Opportunities to depend on himself presented themselves to him. But he pushed on. And he got to that confidence stage. He ended up right where God wanted him. And he said, hey, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good, to save much people alive. This is that confidence stage. He sees us. Not only that, but I notice here in the scripture that he sustains us. The Bible says in verse number 19, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Can I say this? God is, this is when you get confident. Somebody help me right here. Somebody has woke up not had many groceries in the pantry, only to have God show up and do something great in their life. Somebody has had a bill that they couldn't pay, only to have God send some money their way that was unexpected. There's somebody sitting in here that had a bad report at the doctor and turned around and go back the next time and the doctor said, I don't know what happened. And you said, praise God, I do. Yeah, he's able to sustain us. He's able to keep us in times of famine, to keep us alive. And this famine, we ain't talking about just a famine from food. I'm talking about a famine in your finances, a famine in your family, a famine in your relationships, a famine in your job, whatever it may be. God is able to sustain us, this confidence stage.
Then he shields us. The Bible says this, our soul, verse number 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Boy, ain't nothing like an enemy coming against you and God just saying, boom, I need somebody to help me right here. We don't always get to see the boom. We don't always get to see the zap. But eventually, I've learned this, if you stick around long enough, you'll start realizing some things. Oh, y'all, I was in the grocery store the other day. Some people that was started when I first come to this church, giving me all kind of fits. Anyhow, I walked in church, y'all, I'm telling you, you could see it. You could see it. I was nice as I could be, spoke to them and everything else, and I could see the regret. I could see, come on now, y'all don't get mad at me. Don't go put it on Facebook. Don't go tell everybody. I'm telling you. You can see it.
That's right.
People that's come against me and come against this church, and God's dealt with them. God is able, come on, to protect us. And if we'll just have confidence in Him, I'm getting somewhere right here. If we'll just have confidence in Him, then we won't act out. Come on now, help me now. We won't act out. Let God be God. Let God be the judge. Unless you and I just continue on in the faith. With confidence. With confidence that God is able to take care of us. And lastly, this is almost the coolest part of it to me. We go through that celebration stage. God, we're stirred up to praise. We're singing with praise. We're serving with praise. We get through that cautious stage where if we're not careful, we put our dependence on man or our dependence on might or our dependence on materials. We finally get to that confident stage and we realize that God sees us. God sustains us through it all. God, He protects us or shields us through it all. But He stirs us through it all. It's the same subpoint as the first one. I just couldn't get away from it. It come full circle. Come on now, I need somebody to help me. See, in the beginning, you praising God on credit. Come on, right? We praising God on credit. Hey, we praising God for what He could do. We're praising God for what He might do. Amen. And when we first get saved, we just praising God for everything. I mean, we're praising Him for what He did in saving us, but we're praising Him for our potential and what we might do. We're getting that cautious stage, and I'll be honest with you, our praise leaves us. I didn't say that, but it does. You want to see somebody going through a cautious? Watch them praise. Watch their worship. Watch them praise the Lord. If they're not able to praise the Lord, chances are they're in a cautious stage. They're in that cautious stage where they done got their eyes off of Him and their eyes on everything else, man, materials, and their own ability. See, if you have your eyes on Him, praise is easy. I need some help right here. If you keep your eyes on Him, praise is easy. It's when you get your eyes off of Him when it's harder to do. You can't sit in church. That's why they're not here. Can't sit through church service because they ain't got nothing to praise about because all they're thinking about is everything that's right here. They're not looking up here. But in that confident stage, we realize that that's all there is. It doesn't matter about any of this. That's all there is. And so once we get to that confident stage where we realize that He sees us and He sustains us and that He shields us, then we go right back to Him stirring us. And that praise, oh, it's a lot more natural now because we're not praising on credit anymore. We're praising on past goods. We're praising on what we've already seen Him do. We're praising. Come on, I need some help right here. We're praising Him because we've already seen His potential. We've already seen what He's done in our life. And we look back and say, thank You, Lord. Well, I'm telling you what, you come full circle. I think three stages. A Christian life found right here in Psalm chapter number 33. If you're in stage one, hallelujah. Jump up and down, run a lap around the building, stand up and scream during the offering. Just, woo! Glory! It'd be all right. And some of these people need to be woke up. Sunday morning, somebody just needs to, I'm talking about let out a like a bench in. Oh, yeah. Amen. What did y'all see that video I posted of the guy worshiping? He talking about hooty hoo. Man, if y'all would do that, man, I ain't no telling what would happen in church on Sunday morning. Hey, if you're in that first stage, listen to me. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Don't you let somebody steal it from you. You enjoy it. Learn how to praise. Shout. You don't even have to know what you're shouting about. I need somebody to help me. Somebody that's been through it, help me, help them. They don't even know, they don't have to know all the details. Just shout because he's worthy. Just holler because he's done something in your life. It's all right. But if you're in that cautious stage, listen to me. You better find your way to an altar tonight. We're going to close our eyes for the altar. And listen, don't you be scared. Don't you let pride get in the way of this thing. If you've gotten your eyes off of God, you're no different than any of the rest of us. I promise you, every single one of us has battled this right here. Yeah. At some point in our lives, in our Christian walk, we have gotten our eyes off of Him and gotten our eyes on others, gotten our eyes on our material thing, gotten our eyes on ourselves. You get back on these altars and you get focused. Get back. Look here, right here. Forget about this right here. Let God be God. Right here. If you're in that confidence stage, listen to me. This is where you need to stir your own pot. I need some help right here. You know what God's capable of. I ain't talking about stirring up trouble. Don't be stirring up trouble. We got enough trouble without you stirring it up. Just get in that pot though and start stirring up some of them blessings. Open up your little box and start remembering some of them things that God's done for you. Hey, listen, and stir yourself back up for praise. The only stage that you shouldn't find praise is in that middle one. Come on now. In the first stage, we ought to be celebrating. Well, there ought to be plenty of praise. In the last stage, there ought to be plenty of praise. The only stage where there's not praise is right in the middle. And you better be cautious. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Come join me around the altar. I don't care what stage you're in. Nobody's judging you. Don't care what stage you're in. Come get around the altar. Praise God if you're in the first stage. Shout a while. If you're in that last stage, shout a while over what God's done in your life and your family. If you're in that middle stage, listen to me. Confess to God you've gotten out of the way. Confess it. You've gotten your eyes off of Him. Put them on something else. Confess it. Let God renew your spirit. Let God refresh your soul. Restore joy unto thy salvation. Don't you worry about that cautious stage. We all go through it. Everybody in here's gone through it. You're not alone. Get your focus back on Him. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. God, I'm thankful to be back in church tonight. God, I'm thankful to be back with my family. Lord, I thank You for safety. I thank You for loving us. God, tonight, Lord, I realize that so many are walking away. So many are getting entangled up in the things of this world. God, and it's ending up getting them out of church, getting them away from You,
getting them sideways with people. Lord, to the point they're burning bridges. Lord, I ask you tonight to restore fellowship. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that there'll be repentance on these altars, repentance on those that may be watching. God, I believe restoration is available. Lord, I ask you to restore them. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to help them through this cautious stage. Lord, get them through it so, Lord, that they can get confident, Lord, in what you're able to do. God, for the rest of this church, Lord, whether we're in the first stage or the last stage, God, I pray, Lord, that we praise you, Lord, for you are worthy. Lord, forgive me for my lack of praise. Lord, forgive me, Lord, for coming to this pulpit, Lord, with the weight of the world on my shoulders. God, I pray, Lord, for liberty. Lord, I pray for worship. God, I pray that I praise you, Lord, as I should. Not let anybody affect that. Not let any circumstance affect that. But God, I want to keep you first. I believe the scripture, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. But Lord, I want to make it personal tonight for all of us. Blessed is the Christian whose God is the Lord. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, thank you for a wonderful church service. Lord, be with us and bring us back safely Sunday. We'll be sure to give you all the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.